So I have been, I'm going to say labouring my way through The Knight's Tale because I think that's the actual truth of it. It's long, The Knight's Tale. I've looked at the page counts for everything else, and everything else is shorter. So once I've got through The Knight's Tale, I'll feel like I'm kind of on a lovely downhill slope and I feel really comfortable. But The Knight's Tale is long, and I'm kind of confused in bits, but I think that might be because I'm finding it hard to pay attention to it for a long period of time. But I kind of get into the language for a while and then my attention drifts, and then I find myself a few pages on and I don't know where I've gone. But anyway, I think we'll get to that. It starts with the magnificent word whilom, whilom, which means once upon a time, which is lovely. I was really delighted to find a word that meant once upon a time. But what I have found a bit baffling is that the knight is telling the tale, and so he's a character, okay, but he is then talking about Theseus. So he's telling us the story of Theseus, who he knew, who marries Hippolyta. So we're in this kind of semi-familiar Greek, I'm hoping it's Greek as I say it, not Roman. No, I think it's Greek mythology. As we know from kind of Shakespeare, maybe as well. Anyway, I sort of know the names, but I don't know what they do. And I gather from reading the Riverside introduction, not from any kind of scholarship on my part, I gather that this is a kind of retelling of what would have been quite a familiar tale, but in a very romantic tone. So it goes on to tell the story of these two young, I suppose, princes who are cousins, who are imprisoned together and aren't allowed to be ransomed, and who fall in love with a girl called Emilia. And then one of them, you can see this is where I get a bit lost, one of them somehow tricks the other to get out of the prison and goes into exile, and the other one stays in prison but then escapes, and they end up having a fight. That's the end of part two. I haven't got to part three yet. That's as far as I've got. But there's a whole thing about women imploring Theseus to do something at the beginning, and I can't work out who they are. And yeah, so overall, it remains interesting, but I am a bit confused, and it is about my own ability to actually pay attention and to keep going, I suppose. I think with Chaucer you need to read it in a few short blocks. I'm also listening to a recording of it being read by somebody called Richard Bebb, who is apparently an absolute expert in Chaucerian pronunciation and reading aloud. You can get that version on Audible if you want to, and it's only a few quid, and it's really worth a go actually, because he imparts it in these wonderful tones and this kind of wonderful bouncing rhythm that really brings out the rhyme and the kind of the really lovely, friendly, warm fall of the way the words kind of bounce. It's buxom, it's rather lovely. And so I am now trying to read it in my head in his voice. And I think I'm doing a bit better, but on the other hand, it does, yeah, it feels idiotic when you say it aloud. But I'm nevertheless, despite saying it feels idiotic, I'm going to read you my favourite quote from it, because there's all these little lovely asides that are kind of knowing and funny, and they're sort of epigrammatic in a way. So this one really struck me. A drunken man wot well he hath an house, but he noot which the right of way is thither, and to a drunken man the way is slidder. So that means a drunk man knows very well that he's got a house, but he doesn't know the right way there, and to the drunk man the way is slidey or slippery, sorry. I just think the humour is so wonderful and so rewarding. And I've enjoyed that even when I've been confused. So you can kind of reorient yourself with these little clever lines that just keep jumping out at you and being really clever and knowing. And there are some kind of sly bits as well, which where the third wall is kind of broken by Chaucer and by Knight as a teller. There's a point where I'm trying to find it in the text, and of course I can't. Oh, here we go. Where the knight says that he is unable to express very well the suffering that Palamon, one of the princes, is going through as a prisoner. That's my phone ringing. I'm going to pause this. Honestly, that's terrible. Nobody ever rings me. I bet it's PPI insurance. Still, at least you know this, that I'm keeping it real. And there's no editing. Palamon is saying that Palamon is suffering, and the knight is saying that he can't express it, and it's kind of funny. So, who could a rhymer in English properly his martyrdom? For soth, it am not I. Therefore, I pass as lightly as I may. So it's kind of, it's just very funny because obviously Chaucer can rhyme in proper English, the martyrdom of Palamon. But the knight is saying he couldn't, and Chaucer is kind of making a joke to us there. And I think that's huge fun. There's a lot of fainting. People faint a lot. Don't know if that's a medieval practice. Not just the women, the men too. And at the end of part two, there's this kind of bloody fight between the two cousins, where they kind of covered in blood and all these kind of open wounds and all this kind of thing, which is quite bloody. But what's kind of hilarious after that is that all of the spectators, so Emilia and Theseus, is it Theseus? Oh, I've forgotten his name. Is it him? Oh, I'm going to have to check at the beginning now. I've forgotten his name. I'm worried now. You see, I'm anxious about the whole thing. I'm really confused with most of it, and I can't pick up any names. It is Theseus. That's good. I feel better now. They all start to cry. They all start to cry because they're so sad about the sadness of these two princes, which I'm going to say lacks emotional realism for me, but maybe that's the wrong thing to say. Anyway, I continue to tackle The Knight's Tale. I've got part three to go, and then I'm really delighted to note that all the others are a bit shorter. I'd also plan to post to you a conversation with Dr. Mike Bintley today, who is my colleague. So I invited him round for dinner last night to talk about this, and we ate dinner and we had a few glasses of wine, and then it just didn't seem appropriate to record anything. So you might get something from Mike next week. But until then, I would love to know what you all make of The Knight's Tale, because I'm enjoying the language, but maybe not the story.